The Coram Deo Church Community is a missional church rooted in historic, biblical Christianity and committed to cultural engagement. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you to deeper reflection on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.
The scripture reading this morning is Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. If we haven't met yet, my name is Aaron, and I have the joy of serving as one of the pastors here at Coram Deo. Today is a little bit different. It's a little bit of a harder day for my wife, Cheyenne, and I. 11 years ago today, May 18th, 2014, is the day my wife and I look back on as a day that changed really the trajectory of our lives. May 18th, 2014 was the last time May 18th was on a Sunday, like it obviously is today. And at that time, Cheyenne was nine months into marriage, and I was a youth pastor at the church I grew up in. We were leading student ministry like we did every Sunday night. That was until Cheyenne told me, I think we need to go to the hospital. Something wasn't right. Cheyenne was 24 weeks pregnant, and so we rushed to the hospital, about a 20-minute drive, but by that time, it was too late. We lost our infant son. We named him Ryler, Aaron. He was born at 24 weeks and passed away during delivery. And in the aftermath of that tragedy, we went through what was a fairly difficult church experience. It's not the time and place right now to kind of work through all the details, but the bottom line is this, that in a moment of hardship, we did not experience the beauty of what the church can and should be. And I share this story not only because it's the exact anniversary, but because I recognize that in a series like this, while we're talking about what the church can and should be, we don't always live up to the vision that the scriptures have. See, the church has been the place where I've experienced the most pain and difficulty and the most joy. But yet, here we are, still part of a local church, still connected to God's people. See, we're in this four-week series that we've entitled The Priesthood of All Believers. And each week we've said that the biblical vision from Genesis to Revelation is that all of God's people would be a kingdom of priests. God said so back in Exodus 19, and the Apostle Peter picks up on that same language for the New Testament church where he writes, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And in this series, we've wanted to strongly push against two tendencies that can plague the church, consumerism being one, where we relate to the church as goods and services for ourselves. What can we get out of church? The other danger is clericalism, where we think that it's only the paid professionals that do the work of ministry. But, as the great reformer Martin Luther has said, an injustice has been done to the word priest when it is transferred from all Christians to a select few. For Holy Scripture does not make such a distinction at all. All of us who trust in Christ are priests and kings in Christ. As 1 Peter 2:9 states, we are worthy to appear before God, to pray for others, and to teach one another the things that are of God. For these are the duties of priests. See, every person who is united to Christ by faith has a role to play in ministering God's grace to one another. And in this series, The Priesthood of All Believers, we've been looking at four key one another passages in the Bible. There's about 60 of them, but we're looking at only four. The first week, we looked at what it means to confess our sins and pray for one another. Week two, teaching and admonishing one another. And last week, welcoming one another as Christ has welcomed you. And this week, And in the final week of this series, we're looking at what it means to bear one another's burdens. So, while we should be a community that practices the one another's well, I recognize this doesn't always happen. And so we shouldn't be idealistic. The church can be messy. The church is full of people. People who are messy and broken and don't always do the one another's right. Church is messy and hard, and it's beautiful. See, sometimes the church does not live out the one another's well. I've experienced that. Many of you have experienced that. But the church, the people of God, is a gift. We, Cheyenne and I, will always be committed to the local church. Because even in the midst of what many might call today church hurt, God brought healing in our story through his people, ministering the grace and living out the one another's. And so we can look at this one another, bear one another's burdens. Let me say this to start. You cannot live life apart from God's people, the local church. Even just yesterday and last night, there's a couple logistical things that came up with our kids. Cheyenne's out of town for the weekend where I needed some real practical help in a very unplanned situation. And deeper than that, some of those practical things revealed in me just this unsettledness and this distraction and this anxiety that was in my heart that I needed prayer for. And it's such a gift to know that I'm just one or two texts or phone calls away from people right here in this room that can lean in and help and pray for me. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. See, before we can really lean into what it means to bear one another's burdens, let me remind us of who Jesus is as our great high priest. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a great high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." See, sometimes people will say that Jesus can't really sympathize with my weaknesses and sins because he never went through exactly what I went through. But this misses the point of what Hebrews 4 is saying. In his fairly famous book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis gives this really helpful illustration. He writes this: "No man knows how bad he is till he has tried very hard to be good. A silly idea is current that good people do not know what temptation means. This is an obvious lie. Only those who try to resist temptation know how strong it is. After all, you find out the strength of the German army by fighting against it, not by giving in. You find out the strength of a wind by trying to walk against it, not by lying down. A man who gives in to temptation after 5 minutes simply does not know what it would have been like an hour later. That is why bad people, in one sense, know very little about badness. They have lived a sheltered life by always giving in. We never find out the strength of the evil impulse inside us until we try to fight it. And Christ, because he was the only man who never yielded to temptation, is also the only man who knows to the full what temptation means. The only complete realist." See, Jesus knows what full temptation is like more than you do, more than I do, yet without sin. He's the only one who can actually fully, completely sympathize with you in your burdens and weaknesses. Jesus is the only one who has truly struggled. He stood through it all and never succumbed to sin. We, on the other hand, give in too quickly. And this is why it is such good news that Jesus is our great high priest who is tempted in every way, yet without sin. So Christian, this is who you are united to by faith, the great high priest who sympathizes with your weaknesses and the weaknesses of those around you. And because the Christian is united by faith to Jesus, the great high priest, the Christian, therefore, is thus one who is empowered to bear the burdens and weaknesses of those around them. So with that all in mind, let's look at this passage. This morning, I don't have 3 points, just one simple big idea. Here it is. The Spirit-filled life is a burden-bearing life. The Spirit-filled life is a burden-bearing life. Verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. Now again, the phrase we're focusing on is that phrase in verse 2, bear one another's burdens. But let me say this. We often tend to apply this phrase mainly to sort of hardships and difficulties. But I want to say the category of burdens can be much broader than that. Burdens involve more than just generic struggles day to day in life. Burdens involve, yes, that, but also struggles and sin. Think about the context of verse 1. If anyone is caught in a transgression. See, burdens involve suffering and setbacks, sin and suffering. All of the things, put it like this, that can stall our growth in Christ. So let me just say from the front, bear one another's burdens means bearing with one another in sin and suffering and setbacks. See, when you hear the phrase, bear one another's burdens, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this as a call to participate in one another's sanctification. Now, sanctification, that's a fairly big Bible-ish kind of word. Let me just define that briefly. Sanctification is different than justification. Justification, primarily in the New Testament, speaks about when the Christian is united to Christ by faith, that Christian is justified, declared to be in the right, is given Jesus' perfect record of righteousness in that moment. It's more of a legal sort of term. Sanctification, on the other hand, speaks about once someone has been justified, their continued growth and maturity and conformity in the image of Jesus. So think about sanctification as that ongoing journey that each of us who are Christians is on until that day of glory when we see Jesus face to face. And to bear one another's burdens means that we are called to live life together in such a way where we are helping one another grow in our sanctification, our growth in Christ. Notice how the text says in the very beginning, brothers. See, that's family language. It's one of Paul's favorite ways of talking about the church. God's people are a family, and like any healthy family, isolation is not an option. Life is to be lived with one another. But also notice, Paul writes there in verse 1, you who are spiritual. Now, what is spiritual referring to? There's another word or phrase we like to throw around a lot. We might sometimes think of that phrase spiritual as like those are the really mature, spiritual, Navy SEAL type Christians. Then there's the rest of us normal people. But that's not at all what that word spiritual means. When you see that word spiritual, Paul is referring to, the scriptures are referring to all of those who are filled with the Spirit of God. And a Christian is someone who, yes, is united to Christ by faith and filled with the Holy Spirit. He's talking about all of us who are Christians. The royal priesthood, the family of priests, it's not just pastors or elders or the really mature Navy SEAL type people. This is everyone who calls on the name of Christ. And this should be a normal part of the Christian life, being filled with and empowered by the Spirit. If you're united to Christ by faith, you have the Spirit of the living God living in you to direct you as you listen, as you walk in step with the Spirit, as Paul would have just said in Galatians 5. Now, to be clear, every Christian is spiritual in this sense, empowered by the Spirit, because we have the Holy Spirit. And this is where we need to be clear. Those who are not Christians are not spiritual because they do not have the Holy Spirit. Some of us in this room are not followers of Jesus. You are not a Christian, and we are so glad that you are here. You may have gone to church for most, if not all, of your life, growing up doing religious sorts of things, but if you do not have the Spirit of God in you, if you have not confessed and repented of your sins and turned to Jesus, you do not have the Holy Spirit living in you, and you are not united to him by faith. And so the invitation in that sense is really beautiful and simple, to turn to him and experience God's empowering presence and forgiveness in Christ and in his Spirit. But what Paul is getting at here is that the family of God, brothers and sisters, those who are spiritual, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we are to be the family that bears one another's burdens, because a Spirit-filled life is a burden-bearing life, which again means we participate and are involved with each other's sanctification and growth in Christ. Notice verse 2 again, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Fulfill the law of Christ. What does that mean? Think about this. What is the law of Christ? Well, this is where we need to think about Jesus' own ministry in the Gospels. In Matthew 22, there's this situation where the Pharisees and the scribes, some very religious people, but people not born again, they're the Bible experts of the day, but they're not filled with the Spirit. These Bible experts come to Jesus and they ask Jesus this question, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment in all the Old Testament law? Give us the apex. Give us the pointed edge, if you will, of all the teaching of the Bible. And Jesus says, it's all boiled down to this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang the law and the prophets. But here's the point for us in Galatians 6. Bearing one another's burdens is one of the key main ways we live out the greatest commandment. John Stott put it like this, it's very impressive that to love our neighbor, to bear one another's burdens, and fulfill the law are three equivalent expressions, essentially of the same thing. We should not be crushed by this command, but should delight in it and realize that we have the power to fulfill it through the Spirit's ministry in our lives. Because again, a Spirit-filled life is a burden-bearing life. So let me ask you this. What prohibits, or maybe better said, what prevents us from obeying or living into this command? Well, at the top of the list, let's take a look at verse 3. I would say at the top of what kind of prohibits us from living into this is self-sufficiency. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. See, right there in verse 3, I think Paul is warning against this sense of self-sufficiency. Because self-sufficiency will sabotage your sanctification and the sanctification of those around you. See, part of the danger is that we are tempted to think that we are self-sufficient, up and to the right, high-achieving people on our own. But we have to be people open enough, humble enough, to receive help from those around us. I don't know about you, it's much easier for me to offer help than to receive help from someone. Because I don't want people to see me struggle. And yet we see all over through Scripture, right? Even the heroes of the faith, if you will. Think about Moses in the book of Exodus. He needed people around him to literally lift up his arms in the book of Exodus. Or Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he is about to bear the burden of all of our sin on the cross, as he goes into the garden to pray, he says to his disciples, will you not pray with me? Imagine that, Jesus himself being so burdened, asking his own friends, come and pray with me, will you not keep watch? See, we often have this attitude of, I don't really need others. We may not explicitly say that, it's kind of just implicit humming in the background. I mean, I have to confess, I probably spent a good 20 or 30 minutes last night debating, should I even send a couple text messages to some of the other pastors to even pray for me? Because I was believing the lie that I'll be fine, I'm self-sufficient, I can just power through and truck through this. And a huge part of myself wanted to just keep thinking, I can just do this. I don't need to ask for prayer. But that's just pride and self-sufficiency in my own heart. But look at what Paul says next, though. If self-sufficiency is one of those dangers that prevents us or prohibits us from living into this command, another one would simply be what I just named, pride or arrogance. Again, verse 3, 4, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. See, when we are in a situation where we are invited to bear one another's burdens, there's often this temptation at times to see ourselves as superior. It's like that fairly famous story of Muhammad Ali, who was on an airplane and a stewardess came up to him and said, "Sir, you need to put your seatbelt on." And Muhammad Ali is reported as saying, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." And the stewardess said, "Superman doesn't need an airplane. So put your seatbelt on." See, that's often us. Hey, I don't need a seatbelt. I don't need help. I can carry this weight myself. But underneath that, there's this pride and this arrogance. And again, that self-sufficiency that's just kind of humming in the background. But this is why a spirit-filled life is, in fact, a burden-bearing life, where we do need each other. But this does not take away personal responsibility. Look at verses 4 and 5. Let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each, here's the key verse here, for each will have to bear his own load. So in the same paragraph, bear one another's burdens, and each will have to bear his own load. Which one is it? Are we to be people who bear one another's burdens, or are you supposed to be someone who just bears your own load? Which one are we supposed to do? Yes. Right? This might seem like a contradiction, and I promise you it's not. And I think it's actually very similar to what we actually see all throughout the wisdom literature in the Bible. For example, Proverbs 26, verse 4 and 5 say this, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like himself." Verse 5, the next verse, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes." Which one is it? See, here's the point I'm trying to make. The biblical writers are literary geniuses. They know what they're doing. No one's confused here, right? Paul's not confused. The author of Proverbs is not confused. And I think Paul is actually doing something very similar here. This is good wisdom literature, where you kind of have these, like, on the surface, it seems like they're two contradictory statements. But what the invitation is inviting you into this life of reflective wisdom in the Spirit, of seeking discernment in community with one another. How do we apply both of these in the right context, in the right situations? We need God's Spirit and God's wisdom to know how to live this out. There's not like a copy and paste method oftentimes. But as I've said throughout this sermon, bearing one another's burdens does mean we do participate in one another's sanctification, helping each other grow in Christ, that God's Spirit works with us and through us to help each other grow. And you do have your own responsibility. Both are true. See, sometimes we overfunction. We don't have healthy differentiation, but we need to remember that we can't make people change. You don't save anyone. Jesus saves. But the scriptures here in Galatians 6 are inviting us to be a people of wisdom animated by God's Spirit. See, Paul is intentionally using actually two different words here, burden and load. Two different words in the Greek text. A load was a word that was used for like a soldier's backpack. It's something that you were meant to carry personally yourself. Your responsibility. Each soldier had their own backpack or load or equipment to carry in battle. But burdens is a different word. It's a word that clearly means it's too much to carry for any one person. That weight would have a crippling effect. Because again, in an overall sense, your sanctification is not an individual project. To quote Paul Tripp would say, change is a community project. But I think what Paul is getting at is this, that as we mature and grow in Christ, there are certain things that only you can do in your sanctification. No one else can do these for you. No one can obey for you. No one can resist temptation for you. No one can confess your sins for you. That's your load to bear. And for those of us who are prone to overfunctioning, you can't obey for someone else. You can't resist temptation for someone else. And in many ways, no one can read the scriptures for you. No one can pray for you in the sense that you yourself need to cultivate a life of intimacy and connection with the triune God. That is your load to bear. Yes, we're to come along and help each other, but there are certain things you are responsible for at the end of the day. But again, a spirit-filled life is a burden-bearing life, and bearing one another's burdens means we are participating in the sanctification and growth in Christ of one another, and that change is a community project. And if you are filled with the Spirit, you will want to participate. It will be a joy to participate in the sanctification of those around you. But in order to live out this command, we need to remember that we must be anchored to Christ, that all of this comes from a place of being united to Him. That's the foundation. And from that foundation, here's the practical. See, we can't bear one another's burdens if our conversations never move past the weather and the score of the recent game. See, we have to know each other deeply. See, this command, along with probably most of the one another's, this command assumes that you are in community long enough to experience the sins and the struggles and shortcomings of those around you. See, there's a cultural tendency to bail when relationships get messy and hard. But bearing one another's burdens means that you actually press in deeper when sins and struggles and suffering and setback arise. Now, this doesn't mean everyone needs to know everything about you, but a handful of people do need to know the real you. Like asking good questions. How are you really doing? Again, very practically, I would say have two or three people who really know your life. What burdens are you really carrying? Where are you really facing temptation? What feels like too much right now? Are there two or three people in your life, three or four, I don't know, a handful of people that really know the answer to those questions, where you're praying with one another and sharing those things, those burdens with one another? Having those honest conversations. But in addition to that, I want to echo what Pastor Bob said last week, that this can't happen and this doesn't happen on a Sunday morning alone. See, at Coram Deo, the primary way these one another's are lived out is in gospel communities. So what I want you to hear is this. It will be really hard, or next to impossible, for you to obey this one another or any of the one another's if you're not a part of a gospel community. There's just no way to live out the New Testament vision of what it means to be the church apart from being in community with one another. So I want to make an appeal to you for you to get into a gospel community. There's a process here for that. It starts with intro gospel community. But listen, if you have no intention of taking that step, if you have no desire, then can I just suggest that you begin to look for another church where you will have the joy of getting involved in whatever way that would look like to be involved in community. Because this text is telling you that to bear one another's burdens, you must be in close proximity to with one another. And the way that looks like here at Coram Deo is in gospel communities. If you have no intention of actually moving into communities so that you can obey this command, then I want to free you to go to a church where you will do that. Because I want you to hear from me as one of your pastors that being present on a Sunday morning is a starting point. It's not the destination. But let me say a word to those who are already in a gospel community. Many of our gospel communities traditionally this time of year are beginning to wind down as far as their regular rhythms, and over the summer we'll take sort of a break, if you will. But that doesn't mean living life with one another needs to take a break. That doesn't mean you get a break from bearing one another's burdens for June, July, and August. So I want to invite you, and not just the gospel community leaders, every participant in a gospel community, what does it look like for you to still lean into everything we've talked about the past 4 weeks, and especially this week, bearing one another's burdens? How can you be intentional this summer to still live into the vision of the priesthood of all believers in the context of your gospel community. Again, there's no summer vacation from the one another's. It is a joy. As I said at the beginning, healing in my story has only happened in and through the grace of God through the life of the local church in the context of community. And some of you are on the brink of despair and wanting to give up and in a real hard place. And this summer is a beautiful time not to pull back from the one another's. The summer is going to be a beautiful time to lean into these things. One last word here on this. Some of you in your gospel communities are going to be beginning to welcome some new folks who are currently in intro gospel community. We actually have our last week of intro tonight. A handful of those 30, 40 adults are going to be dispersed into gospel communities over the next handful of weeks. And some of you in gospel communities are going to be welcoming new people in. Now, I want to challenge you. I want to invite you to lean into living out the one another's, especially for those who are going to be new in your gospel community. You might not have a regular weekly rhythm, but what does it look like for you as you welcome some new families or new individuals into your gospel community over the next handful of weeks? To be intentional about getting to know them, to lean into bearing with one another and bearing one another's burdens. Don't just wait till September to begin that process. So friends, let me end with this. Let me remind you of this. Jesus is our great high priest. He's the one who lives to make intercession for us, who is tempted in every way we are, yet without sin. Jesus prays for his people. Jesus bears the burdens of his people in prayer. And Jesus bore the ultimate burden of our sin. Peter tells us he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. See, many of us, we've experienced this. We've experienced how we have failed at bearing one another's burdens, and we have been on the receiving end of people failing to bear our burdens. We ourselves settle for the fleeting pleasures of sin, even though we know that sin ultimately enslaves. But the gospel tells us that Jesus himself bore. He took in himself the weight of all of our transgression and mess and sin and shame and gives back his very life. In fact, he gives us his very spirit. The Holy Spirit, the sign and seal of your adoption in Christ, the guarantee, the down payment of your future inheritance in him. Because again, friends, this spirit-filled life is a burden-bearing life. And when you get this, this does something to you. The Spirit of God is the gift that empowers you to confess your sins and pray for another. The Spirit of God frees you and empowers you to teach and admonish one another. And the gospel frees you and empowers you to welcome one another and to bear one another's burdens with one another as you are animated and empowered by the Holy Spirit. See, friends, to be the kinds of people that God has called us to be the church that, yes, we will get this imperfectly at times, but still to lean into it, to be that kind of church, to be the priesthood of all believers, not just a select few. We need to keep coming back to the gospel and the power of the Spirit. Because if you have received the gift of the Spirit, you know that Jesus bore the burden of your sin. And when you know that, when you realize that, when you realize what Christ has done for you and what he's given you in his Spirit, you are freed and empowered to live this Spirit-filled life that bears one another's burdens. So the one final question I have for you is this. Where is the Spirit of God leading you to minister love and to minister the love and grace of Jesus to the person right next to you, through you? So God, we ask that you would reveal your tender goodness and mercy to us once again. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to see the beauty of who you are, that you yourself bore the burden of our sin, that you've given us your Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we ask for you to empower us to live this out. And God, I ask that you would help us to see the beauty of the church. the beauty of brothers and sisters in Christ, living life, yes, imperfectly. Help us to see the church as a gift. Spirit of God, for those who have experienced what might be called church hurt or whatever term is used, God, I pray that you'd bring healing, you'd bring comfort, and that you'd do that through the people right here in this room. So God, may we experience again and again your loving grace and kindness and redemption through one another. Give us hope, give us vision, give us anticipation for what you want to do in us and through us for your glory. We pray these things in your name. Amen.